I begin this morning by asking the question, do you have commitment issues? Do you have commitment issues? Many people today lack commitment. They will join in to a relationship or a situation for a little while, but they aren't committed to it for the long haul. And it seems like every day more and more people are less and less committed to the relationships that they are in, to the situations that they are in. There are a number of reasons for that. More and more people are becoming lazy. More and more people are giving up and quitting. More and more people are acting selfishly and doing what seems best for them, but not for somebody else. More and more people are less and less focused on God. And so we're seeing commitment issues. That's the way the world describes it. That's why I'm asking that question in that way. Commitment issues. This morning, I want to talk about being committed to Christ. And when you look at the research with regard to religious commitment, it's very interesting that the numbers are pretty low of those who claim to be religious. But what's even more scary than that is, among the low numbers who claim to be religious, even a lower number than that, and in some cases less than 10%, are actually committed in their religion. In other words, claiming to be a Christian, for example, in the United States is very fashionable among some. But when the surveyors ask, how often do you pray? How often do you read your Bible? How often do you attend a church service? It is very low, the number of people who do those things on a regular basis. How often do you give in your church? How often do you engage in a particular activity of the local church during the week? So prayer, Bible study, attendance, giving, volunteering to work. When those questions are asked, the people say, well, I don't really do those things, but I'm a Christian. Or I attend such and such church, or I'm a member of such and such church, even though I don't attend it. And of course, the pandemic brought out a number of issues like that. It gave excuses for people to quit and gave excuses for people not to give and attend and things like that. And we're now seeing those numbers pour in. Do you have commitment issues? Some people have commitment issues with regard to marriage. They will engage in it for a little while everything's fun, but when things get tough, they quit. People get a job and they engage in it for a little while where things are fun, but when it gets tough, they quit. Parents will raise their children for a little while until it gets tough and then they quit. People will join a church and then after the newness wears off, they quit. And that's what often happens. The newness wears off, the fun, the excitement, the new relationship, and we're all in while things are new, but when life sets in and the normal routines set in, then we quit. One of the biggest reasons why people are not committed to things is they don't see the true inherent value of that particular thing. They don't see any inherent value in marriage. Marriage is no better than non-marriage. They don't see the inherent value in work in order to keep your mind and body active. They don't see it any different than non-work. There's no difference. They don't see any value in becoming a Christian and truly following God and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's no different than being an atheist. People don't see the inherent value and worth of something, so they don't stay committed to that. That's one of the biggest reasons. Do you have commitment issues? You know, there are a lot of people who would hear the Let the Bible Speak program on a regular basis. They would hear some Bible from time to time. They would hear me mention God and Jesus and the Bible. And maybe they're riding in their car and they hear some things. They're flipping channels. And there's immediate thought about, well, you know, that's neat. You know, it's good to be religious. But don't ask me to attend a church service every week. Don't ask me to pray every day and read my Bible every day. Don't ask me to give my money. I'm having a hard enough time paying for gas and groceries and things like that. So I'm not going to give any extra money to the church. Don't ask me to get involved and do extra things. If I come, I just want to come and sit and go home. Don't ask me to do anything extra. See, people hear religious things, and they say amen to that. But when you ask them, well, are you committed to that? They would say no. Interest and commitment are two different things. Saying something, well, I'm a Christian, and being committed are two different things. And the research is showing that. I want to talk about being totally or personally committed. It's not just a slogan. It's not just a statement. Years ago, among the various religions and denominations, total commitment was a very popular statement. But it's not just a passing faddish slogan, it's biblical. And commitment is needed in our work and in our marriage and in our parenting and in our commitment to Christ and being a faithful member of a church, the New Testament church. Commitment is needed because of the inherent value in those things. I don't have time this morning to talk about work and marriage and parenting. I want to focus on commitment to Christ. But we've got to see the inherent value in that first, and then the need to be committed to that. Commitment is needed when we see people falling away from Christ or never joining with Christ to start with. Commitment is needed when we see infighting in a church, when there's a lack of service and edification and evangelism and benevolence. Commitment is needed when you see people who are bench warmers and pew warmers. In other words, they sit down, but don't ask me to do anything more than that. Commitment is needed when you see attendance problems and giving problems and volunteering problems. Commitment is needed when you see worldliness in people who claim to be Christians. They claim to be Christians, but you realize, well, they lie, or they use bad words, or they're dishonest, or they engage in sexual immorality, or they drink or do drugs, or you find out that they are in favor of worldly things, even though they themselves may not be engaged in it. They would cast their vote for things that are immoral. So commitment is one thing. Claiming something is one thing, and being committed to that is something different. Are you committed? Do you have commitment issues? Commitment is simply an agreement or a pledge to do something or be something with someone else or something else that is valuable and important. And I can't think of any person more valuable than God Himself. Let's talk about commitment. Friends, you may be listening on the program. I don't want it simply to be a passing thought. Sometimes people hear religious programming on Sunday and they're thinking, well, you know, that's kind of neat, you know. Good for him, you know. I hope he can encourage some people today. No, I want us to be committed to God through Jesus Christ. I want us to take it to the next level beyond just mere or a casual interest in religion or a casual statement about religion. I want us to be having Christ in us each and every day. At the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and he's mentioning various Christians and their attitudes and their works, and he mentions this particular man and his household. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, "Now I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have set themselves to minister unto the saints, that you also be in subjection unto such, and to everyone that helps in the work and labor." This man and his family are Christians, and they're described as they have set themselves to minister unto the saints. Some versions, like the New American Standard, they have devoted themselves. The King James, they have addicted themselves. Some of the newer versions, spending their lives. One version says, put themselves out to minister. You can tell that they are completely set and devoted to serving their brethren, and it's because they were set and devoted to serving Christ. I like the old King James. They were addicted, completely given over to this work. We need to be like that. And I want to encourage us along those lines this morning. First of all, Christ demands total commitment. He doesn't want half-heartedness. You know, you could have an employer that doesn't care if you're there or not, or do a good job or not. You could have a parent that doesn't care. You could have a spouse that doesn't care. But Christ is not like that. You know, human beings, they may not care if you're committed or not, but Christ is different. And he demands our total commitment, not our bench warming, our commitment. He wants us, for example, to be a new creature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and the word new that Paul is using here is a new quality of person, not the old man. "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." Not just a sinful life that has passed away, but a lack of commitment and shallowness and lukewarmness. To be deep and devoted and committed. Not just something that we get inherited from our parents and we're kind of a Christian because, you know, they kind of wanted us to be. No. It's great that our parents passed down things like that to us, but we have to make it our own and be completely committed on our own. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 and following, Paul writes in Colossians 3, he mentions the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4 about putting off the old man. "Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." And by the way, he's talking to Christians who need to be reminded to put off some things. "Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein also you once walked, wherein you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on therefore as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion and kindness and lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Do you get the idea that this is a lukewarm Christian who's engaged in all of these good things, has put off all those bad things and engaged in all these good things, do you view them as just a bench warmer? Someone who attends a church service a couple of times a year at Christmas and Easter? No, you get the picture of somebody that's completely committed, not just in attendance, but you look at all those qualities. Whenever they come in contact with people, they are engaged in all of these qualities of the new man. That's someone who's completely committed. That's what Christ demands. Christ demands that we love his Father with every ounce of our being. In Mark chapter 12, when Jesus is asked what is the greatest commandment, and he was asked by a religious scribe. He was asked by a Jewish scribe who was supposed to be religious and committed, and many of them were not. Jesus didn't tell this religious man some generic religious thing. He was already religious. When he was asked what is the first commandment or the greatest commandment, Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel," a quotation from Deuteronomy 6, "the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." All. That's complete commitment, not some, not most of these things, but all. And when you add all of those things together, you're talking about mind and body. The inward spiritual side of us, the outward physical body, we're going to give it all to God. "And a second unto this, love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these, and the whole law hangs on that." What's it hang on? Ultimately, it hangs on commitment to God and to others. Jesus demands total commitment. Jesus demands that we give up ourselves, that we give up ourselves and put him in place. The Apostle Paul knew that and wrote and spoke and lived in such a way that people could learn from him that it is to be Christ living in him. Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." It's not I that live. And so to be completely committed, we're going to have to be crucified, not physically, but we're going to have to put to death our self and sin and get it out of the way. It is no longer I that live. I can't be selfish in what I think and what I feel and what I want. But Christ liveth in me. One thing that's keeping us from being completely committed to Christ is that self really is still in the way. So Paul said, "It is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me." He put it a different way in Philippians 1 and verse 21. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And in the previous verse, he said that Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ. My life is all about Christ. That's complete commitment. Christ is going to control my thoughts, my words, and my actions. Christ is in me. Paul will put it a different way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 19, and notice how that he shared this message to different people, the Galatians and the Philippians, and now the Corinthians. He's wanting them to know what true Christianity is all about. "Or know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price, Christ's blood on the cross. Glorify God, therefore, in your body." In chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. I'm going to control myself and let Christ be the complete controller. And so we've got to put ourselves out of the way and put Christ in its place. Many people lack total commitment because they are really not new, a completely new person. They really do not love God with their all. They really have not denied themselves or crucified themselves. Christ is not really living in them at the center of their life. He's more of a fringe influence than a central influence. God's people from time to time have had this problem with complete commitment, and what they've chosen rather to do is to just what we would call straddle the fence. One foot serving the Lord and one foot trying to serve the world. Elijah ran into that with the prophets of Baal and Israel at this time that was wicked. Many of them were following the false prophets and the false idols of Ahab and Jezebel in Israel that was very wicked. And when he gathered them together at Mount Carmel, he asked a question, "How long go you limping between two sides?" Some versions say halting between two opinions. "If Jehovah be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. They knew that they were caught trying to, quote, straddle the fence or stand in the middle of the road. And that's what people do today. Well, I don't want to be completely committed, but I don't want to be a complete atheist either. Christ demands total commitment. We are either for him and all in, or we are against him. Notice the people answered not a word. That's what happens today. You approach somebody about their lack of commitment, they get real quiet. Or they start making excuses and blaming and this and that. And, you know, woe is me and this and that. And I can't be committed because of this right now. They're always offering up excuses for a lack of attendance or a lack of commitment. They know better. I hear that all the time. Instead of just getting up and getting serious, it's easier just to talk and give excuses and blame. And so they didn't say a thing. They got caught trying to play both sides. And Elijah calls them out on that. And then later he shows these prophets of Baal to be completely false. People get sidetracked by false things in the world, and it takes them away from truly serving God. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 said that we need to pick someone. Quit trying to serve two different masters. Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon here is an Aramaic word for riches, the things of this life. Pick one. And people try to do both, and like the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, the Christians there, they wanted to claim to keep serving Christ, but then they were worldly with the physical things of this life, and Jesus says, "You have become lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. You're not hot in being zealous in your service for Christ. Neither are you completely cold where Christ is not there at all. You're just somewhere in between." And if you've ever drunk just lukewarm anything, you'd rather have it hot or cold, but when it's right there tepid in the middle, it's sometimes hard to take. So people try to do that, and Jesus said there in Revelation 3 to repent and completely come back, be zealous and come back and completely be on my side. So quit trying to straddle the fence and walk in the middle of the road and please everybody. Come to one side, and that is the side of Christ. In Luke chapter 9, in talking about the qualifications of discipleship and the conditions of discipleship, Jesus will stand for nothing less than complete and total commitment. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 23, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. That's what Paul was saying earlier in all those passages. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life, that is, I hold on to it for myself, shall lose it spiritually and eternally. But whosoever shall lose his life, that is, set my life aside for Christ, for my sake, the same shall save it. In the same chapter, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57, as they went on their way, a certain man said unto him, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the heavens have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. In other words, it's going to be a difficult journey. Do you really want to follow me? Jesus actually tried to say up front, are you truly committed? He wasn't so wanting followers that he brought them in without letting them know up front the challenges. That's how he was. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And he said unto him, leave the dead, those who are spiritually dead, to bury their own physical dead. You go and publish abroad the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow thee, Lord, but first suffer me to bid farewell to them that are at my house. But Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Be completely zoned in on following me and serving me, not looking around at other worldly things. And this is before the individuals even began to follow. He is saying up front that this bar and the standard is high. In chapter 14 of Luke, he will talk about making that commitment. Back in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, put the kingdom first. Friends, commitment to the Lord must come first before other commitments. That's really the point, isn't it? I don't think people have trouble with commitment per se. They have trouble with commitment to God in Christ because they actually have commitments to themselves and to the world and to what they think and what they feel and what's going on in their life. So, total commitment. Friend, it's not enough just to have some casual interest in religion, some casual interest in the Bible or prayer or Christ. We have to be all in. That's what Christ demands. That's what leads truly to being saved in the end. Do you have commitment issues? If you do, let me encourage you to change that before it's everlasting too late. Change our mind, change our attitude, where we can be all in. Many have done it, many are doing it, and you can join them and be rewarded greatly for it. Thank you for being with us on the program, and have a good day.